And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
No fear, no fear, no fear, no fear here and declare your independence. I'm here in Ernest Hancock here in Phoenix, Arizona. Hello. I'm so glad that we're back. We got the LRN's got their system back up and we're, you know, doing as per normal. Okay. Now I want to show you that this is the most popular. We got to do, you know, headline news, you know, but, you know, on headline news, you know, what's the headline? What's the most popular? And it's this. I'm going to, you know, just show it and I'll explain it here in a little bit, you know, on the radio. Now, a guy, there is a, it's a baboon enclosure at a zoo. And you have this big glass wall that you're looking at them and they come up to the glass and little kids make faces with the monkeys and, you know, that kind of stuff. Well, this guy goes up and he has a card, like a business card or something, and he shows it to the baboon. He's sitting there. He's inches away from this. He's, you know, 3-6 inches away from this on the other side of the glass, sitting there in the shade, just kind of watching this guy do a magic trick. And he shows him the card. The baboon is looking at the card. And then, boom, he makes it disappear in his hand. And the baboon freaks. And he makes it reappear. And he freaks again. And this is, and the whole thing is, you know, the question is, do baboons recognize magic? You know? So those on video, watch this. He shot, boom, he went, whoa! He's like, what the hell? Whoa! And he hasn't come back. That was awesome. It was like, yeah, you're boring, you're boring, you're boring, and then you're not. We're going to watch that again. I thought this was amazing, because that is a good question. You know, he made it disappear, and it came back. That was amazing. There's a whole line of experimentation there. But what happens? You start finding out that animals are a lot smarter, you know, God, just deserve more respect probably than what we're given. And that's what's going to be one of the shows next month at our economic discussion group that I go to. And so who's going to be there? Mark J. Victor. And what's he going to be talking about? His whole thing is he wants to make nice on animals. He wants to be Lawyer Doolittle. He's gone all vegan, you know, and he's like, well, it's a health thing. But he's going, when society gets enlightened, they'll pass laws and you're not allowed to, you know, something with animals anymore. So that'll be an interesting discussion. And he brought that up at a couple of different speeches. When he's in Acapulco, he mentioned that. And I mean, there were some people in the crowd. It was like music to their ear. Finally, somebody's been, this is, you know, it's low hanging fruit for a lot of people. He's going to have an interesting support group on this thing. So I'm going, all right. So I wanted to show you that. It's and if you looked it up, I want to believe the surprised baboon gets what magic is. Say what you like, but sometimes the internet really delivers. I felt like I was given a gift for the first time I saw this video of a baboon's response to a basic magic trick. It starts with a Wanzu baboon, whatever that is. She looks like I'd feel if I was pressed up against the glass of my enclosure watching another species gawk at me, which is to say, overwhelmingly sad and tired, despondent, suicidal even. And the kind of the, you know, baboon is like, you know, not entertained. Thousands of kids have toddled up to this baboon, smacked their sticky palms against the glass, level with her face. She'd move away from the spot, but it's the only real shade in the afternoon. She made her peace with the tourist hordes out of necessity. She expects nothing, so she's never disappointed. She gives fewer cares about any other creature I've ever seen. She's just, you know, sitting there not being bothered. And then some jackball grandpa in a neon white cap shows her a card, and with a flourish, the card is gone. One baboon loses it. Her eyebrows have leapt up before she can stop them. She is incredulous and outraged. It's magic, and you know it's magic. I reached out to Teller, famed magician and master of sleight of hand. Teller wasn't quite as impressed as I was. The sleight of hand was pretty good, he said, but not enough to justify that reaction. What the heck was on the card? Baboon catnip? Pheromones of the opposite sex? I doubt it. Teller, because Juan Baboon was separated from the card by a thick glass, but Teller has been on the receiving end of a few reactions to magic tricks. Nobody, not even a baboon, Teller went on, has that strong a reaction to a vanishing three of clubs. But she did, and that is why it's so magical. When I talk to a scientist, not just anybody, but Franz De Waal, a world-renowned primatologist, he teaches in the psychology department at Emory University in Atlanta, where he's also director of the Living Links Center for the Advanced Study of Ape and Human Evolution, which is part of one of the oldest primate research centers in the country. He's a member of the National Academy of Sciences. In 1975, he started working at the world's largest captive colony of chimps, research that led to his first book, Chimpanzee Politics, Power and Sex Among Apes, published in 1982. His latest, We Are Smart Enough to Know How Smart Animals Are, is on sale next month. Turns out, I'm definitely not smart enough to know how smart animals are. De Waal had seen the video. I don't know what to make of it, he says. Instead of assuming that the monkey follows the trick and is upset by it, which, yeah, I assume fully, it may be just the fact that hand movements are made in front of her face followed by eye contact by the human, which is something they really don't like. I was genuinely shocked to hear that previously Juan Baboon may have felt challenged or threatened and not surprised and enchanted as I'd hoped. So I watched the video 477 more times, give or take, and I swear, Dr. De Waal, the baboon reacts to the trick, or at least the hands in her face before the eye contact from the human. She has to be reacting to the magic trick. Why would I believe another bona fide expert over my own opinion? After all, I am a person who saw a video on the internet, and damn it, I want to believe that monkeys believe in magic! You know, and that's the impression that I got. It looked to me, I mean, it was like, well, what? You know, it was, how else would they, you have to see it. You know, I mean, it's short, it's only like 6 seconds, it's like a vine or something. But that, you know, makes you question a lot of things. So I'm going, all right. The Lavoie-Finicum issue is never going to go away. This is, as time goes on, they got a, you know, distraction, made you look, you know, you got a blue dress with, the, you know, like stains on it and so on. In Clinton administration, they just bombed somebody. You know, you got, you know, change the lead. There's been so many, I can go on and on and on, but you just know that when you got some big story of a bomb in Brussels, a series of bombs, Paris attacks, I mean, all that, you know, to serve what purpose? Is it just what they say it is? It's terrorists acting out of, you know, you need to have a bigger state and more money spent to come get us or something? I guess you get so cynical you don't trust anything, but then what did we see? You know, we have this new tech shows why, you know, I was going to show this yesterday. Look on those on the video. It's called Real-Time Facial Enactment, and the title of the article is New Tech Shows Why You Can't Trust Anything You See on the News. Now, I'm going to play this, and it's going to freak you out of what can be done in real time. Now, I had seen a previous, and here they're showing like a disaster, and actors, you know, they got glass coming out of their face, and they're bloody, and they're practicing, and so on. But it is a new technique that I'll show you when we come back. You know, you really need to see this and understand just how scary this is. I've seen other software that you could doctor things and make it do whatever you want it to, but always later. You know, it's not in real time. This is in real time. I'm going to show it to you and be amazed.
When it comes to investing in precious metals, you need a source you can trust who offers you choices and empowers you to maximize your wealth. That's where Roberts & Roberts Brokerage can help. Roberts & Roberts is a trusted name in precious metals. Since 1977, Roberts & Roberts has been providing you with the finest gold and silver bullion, coins, rounds, and bars at genuine and honest prices. They make it easy to invest in precious metals and work with you to suit your investment needs. In addition to offering gold and silver for sale for U.S. dollars, Roberts & Roberts Brokerage is now accepting Bitcoin in exchange for their quality precious metals products. To speak with a professional from Roberts & Roberts about investing in precious metals, call toll-free 800-874-9760. Write this number down, 800-874-9760. Visit Roberts & Roberts online at rrbi.co. That's rrbi.co. On behalf of Roberts & Roberts, here's hoping your day is as good as gold.
If you enjoy LRN.FM, please contribute to your favorite shows via their websites and become an amplifier at amp.lrn.fm. That's amp.lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
And we're right back. I'm reading an article here, the Mercenary Murder of Lavoie Finicum, and that's one of the popular articles on Freedom's Phoenix right now, too. And bottom line is, you know, I read it so you don't have to. The bottom line is they're saying that what's happening to the ranchers around the country and certainly in the West here is really, it's a resource grab. And, you know, it's always in the name of some nature thing. It's Sierra this or Nature Conservancy of the Oregon Wild of George Soros. And so it's a coalition of government connected kind of, it's like a bad sci-fi novel. You know, I'm reading Paul Rosenberg's new book, The Breaking Dawn. And here, I'll show you. Cover. Dun, dun, dun. Now, The Breaking Dawn, and it's just, it's really talking about now. You know, well, it's talking about what happened after now. Because we have had this this oligarchy ruling us and all the things and the wars, and finally, eventually, it comes to an economic meltdown. And when that happens, you know, the breakdown or the meltdown or whatever you're going to down it, it is what happens next. You know, what opinion prevails? You know, what kind of fear tactic do they got? They have to make you afraid. This is so neon flash and obvious to me. That's why I say Golden Gate Bridge, St. Louis Arch, toast. It's some iconic middle America, kind of everybody's, you know, that some loss of they blew up the Statue of Liberty or something. I mean, you know, it's gonna happen because it has to for them to maintain their control. I don't see any other way that they're going to stop the trend of people going, and I don't care what you guys say. Voting's for suckers. We're going to chart our own course and do our own thing and become less dependent. We're going to get, you know, solar and grow our own food and some chickens and mesh network of our own. I just found out, you know, me whining about it on the air. You know, the more I whine about something, the more I get of it. You know, so I'm whining about my encrypted, they don't get everything, my location's transmitted, and I totally agree, app criteria of whatever smartphone. And they have these. It uses the same chip as the Galaxy S6, I think it said. So it's a going concern. So but it's open. You know, it's open source. It uses Ubuntu Linux operating system for the smartphone, and that gives you a lot more, you know, freedom and options of not being surveilled. So I'm encouraged by that. There's a lot of transportation advancements, a lot of energy. You know, it gives me an opportunity to build up another presentation that I'm looking forward to doing at Porkfest. You know, hopefully get the official invite, but, you know, it looks like we hooked it up. And I'll be speaking there then, and we'll probably be doing the show one way or another. And I'm just going, this is the optimism that people need to have of we're just bypassing these guys. The state is just a little woo-wah siren police car and rearview mirror slipping over the horizon in the sunset of we forgot about them. We've gone plaid, and that is the kind of the theme of the article by Paul Rosenberg, and I want to read it to you because it really expresses, that's why I like Paul so much. It always makes me feel better, and it really expresses the kind of things that I feel. Let's go ahead. I'll go ahead and start it. You know, and if we don't finish it in the archive, I just blip right to it and cut out the Getty anyway. So we'll go ahead and do this because I think it really expresses my sentiment. You know, so let's go ahead and do this. Here we go. With Millstones Around Our Necks by Paul Rosenberg. Filters off. Today I rant. Humanity has been progressing steadily over millennia. The terrorist empires of the ancient world are gone. Chattel slavery, a filthy curse upon our species since several thousand years BC, was obliterated in Europe 1,000 years ago and remains in only a few barbaric corners. Humanity is healthier and better fed than ever in history, and by a huge margin. We have vast knowledge at our fingertips and technology that would have been considered magic not too long ago. People fixated on darkness will object to my itemization of humanity's progress, but everything I've written is indisputably true. My point is this, and if I could write it in giant flaming letters, I would. Humanity is ready to break out and fly. No, we're not, screamed 100 objections. War machines, surveillance, stupidity, terror, obedient sheeple, psychopaths, and power. And yes, I understand. But fixating on evil gets us nowhere. We have to lift up our eyes, see the path before us, take the millstones off our necks, and move. And that means leaving our precious complaints behind. If you'd prefer to stand in place and complain, that's your choice. I'll probably agree with most of your complaints, but I won't join in your chorus because complaining doesn't move me forward. And I want to move forward. I'm sick of watching a big, rigged game in which the debased triumph and the good stand around moaning. I'm done with it. I give no consent. I offer zero respect. I've turned my back to it. Have you ever considered the attitudes of the first Christians stuck inside the Roman Empire? We are not of this world, they said. We are strangers and pilgrims on earth, they said. They believed all the kingdoms of the world were evil and acted accordingly, and they were not wrong. The nexus of coercion. Is coercion the font of righteousness? Is intimidation superior to reason? Is permanent menace the source of health and prosperity? Think carefully. Because if you maintain that the state is good, necessary, or God-ordained, you believe precisely these things. Why? Because the state, like it or not, is the nexus of coercion in this world. I know you were taught that the state protected you from coercion, but that was simply a lie. A big, fat lie. As in demonstrably false. Not that reason has ever been much of a basis for idolizing the state. Rudolf Rummel documented 262 million deaths by government in the 20th century alone. 262 million. Nothing else comes remotely close to that toll. Not mass murders, not petty thugs, not drug gangs, not all of them put together. And where does the coercion in your life come from? Does your neighbor demand that you hand over half your income or he'll lock you in a cage? Does your electrician force you off the road, demand your documents and issue you fines? Does the grocer forbid you from working without a huge, expensive certificate? The conclusion here is obvious and simple. The state is the nexus of coercion upon earth. It's easy to see that this is true. We've just been trained to look away. And coercion? Coercion is a blight upon humanity. The theory of coercion being our savior, as in we need a monopoly on coercion to save you from coercion, is simply ludicrous. No mind that hadn't been pre-programmed to it would accept it. Okay, that's how you say it. It might be fair to say that medicine saves us, but did organized coercion create medicine? Did it teach us to grow food or build cars? Did it discover the laws of physics? Of course not. Coercion takes by manipulation, fraud, and force. None of this is complex. Understanding it requires no genius. It's simple and obvious. When we come back, our path forward, and we'll finish it up. Paul Rosenberg. We'll be right back.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Our path forward. The path forward is almost equally obvious. A voluntary society. A society of consent. And there is no reason not to recognize or reorganize ourselves into a society of consent. It would involve the usual human problems, of course, but they exist in course of society in even greater measure. The real problem is that organized coercion forbids it. We are violently prevented from experimenting with new ways of life. We are threatened with any number of punishments if we stray away from the pattern that is dictated to us. These monopolies of coercion always promise freedom, but their freedom applies only if you stay inside their limits. If you want to live differently, you are to be hammered down. That's why I call this a millstone. It forbids us from living any other way. It forbids adaptation. It forbids experiment. It forbids progress. The worst part, however, is this. Organized coercion demands that we warp our minds and bludgeon our judgment so we can praise it as the true and great savior of mankind. So, our situation is this. Humanity has been crawling into the future with millstones around their necks. The millstones are useless and debilitating. But they've been part of their lives so long that most people can't conceive of removing them. But if ever they do remove them, they'll be ready to fly. Is organized coercion the only problem we face? Of course not. Our primary problems are internal, the kind that stop us from pulling the stones off our necks. Then he goes into, this is Paul Rosenberg, promotion of his new book, The Breaking Dawn. Now, he wrote Free Man's Perspective. You can go and do his newsletter. But A Lodging of Wayfaring Men. I didn't know that he wrote that anonymously. And it was very popular. And a lot of people, when he spoke at the Freedom Summit, there's some people that brought books of Lodging of Wayfaring Men for him to sign. And I'm like, what's the big deal? He wrote it without anybody knowing who it was. It became very popular. And the reason I didn't read the book, but the reason I got is he kind of predicted a lot of the stuff that's going on, the anonymous thing. And he was part of the crypto hippies, and he has all kinds of, you know, cyberpunk stuff from back in the day. He's well known in those circles. And as time goes on and he gets older, I mean, he's, you know, not young. He's not any older than I am. He's in his late 40s, 50s. You know, around in there. And he's had such an impact on a lot of people that when they found out that he was the one that wrote that, it's like, whoa, sign here. Well, he's got his name on The Breaking Dawn, and it's current. And I can see there's a, I don't get to read a lot of books anymore, but I tell you, it's the only time that you ever really get to see the imagination soar and what can be done. It's like Heinlein novels. I just saw, we had on Freedom's Phoenix over the last few days, a discussion on Robert Heinlein's The Moon is a Harsh Mistress. And it had a really big impact on me. And I was really surprised to see at Freedom Feud, Survey Says, is a game show kind of thing that they do with teams at Porkfest. And it's every time they do it, it's been a lot of fun. And Bob Murphy was the game show host. He does a really good job at that. And one of them, you know, favorite book. And I think, you know, number one was probably Atlas Shrugged or something like that. But number two was Moon is a Harsh Mistress. And I was very impressed that that would show up. I'm going, yeah, right on. Because they surveyed 100 or 200 people, attendees at Porkfest, you know, for the answers to the question. A survey says Moon is a Harsh Mistress. I really encourage people to read that. And in the end, you always find out that even the most anarchist are advocating something else. They always see it sooner or later to devolve into some kind of a government, you know, an administration of somebody. Well, whenever they do that, the promise of freedom is, oh, we serve you. Yeah, we serve you. We just need a little bit of your money. Oh, and here's a 45 to your forehead. Make sure you give it to us. But we serve you. So I'm... What kind of society? We're not even allowed to try. And that was one of the points that Paul was making. We have, when I visited the Freedom Ranch with Alma and Macy and Brian and Adam up there. I go, all right, so tell me all the forms you got. Oh, yeah, we already got a cease and desist. You know, for what? Yeah, the county says you're not allowed to whatever. That they're working around it. So if you're in an Earthship that's a safe sapioponics kind of thing, and you enclose it in glass, well, is it a greenhouse? They go, well, it says right here greenhouses can, you know, exempt from what? Okay, so it's a greenhouse. Now what? Well, you know. Explain it to you, you know. So, and they got a big head start on it up there. I mean, that's some, I haven't seen that straight of barbed wire, tight, twangy guitar playing fence since I was in Texas. You know, this is, I didn't even know you. I go, how the hell did they get that straight? Well, Adam figured it out, man, because he laid him some fence. He did a great job on that. So this is, humanity marches on, but that's why I was so adamant about calling this show Declare Your Independence, because I love the Declaration of Independence. It's such a monumental worldwide, this is why I break with thee document. Well, does it go just for a geographical area, or is it a between the ears thing for every individual? Individuals need to be able to, you know, understand what they got to claim for themselves, because if they don't, you know, it's and they're always going to BS you. And I had up here this this graphic, this video. I want to play this for you and then describe what's going on. What they're showing here is on the left, you have Bush just sitting there in an interview talking to whatever. Then you have a guy in real time sitting by the monitor, and he has like a Kinect or some kind of scanner that's on his face, and he changes his facial expressions. His eyebrows go up, he talks, he moves his mouth, and immediately it's duplicated in real time on the face of Bush. Then they talked about, there was another one they were talking about, with 10 seconds of time, or, you know, a couple minutes or not much of you talking, all of a sudden they can duplicate your voice and inflection and everything. So what did I think of? Well, of course, and that's what a lot of people were saying, now they're showing that they have the technology to do it, is that the phone calls that were coming from, you know, flight 90, whatever it was, in Pennsylvania, that in 9/11 that crashed in the field, they say that that's a whole nother thing. Where's the plane? You know, it's just ridiculous. And they just, you know, dug a hole and put some little fire stuff and a couple of things around. And where's the bodies? Where's the plane? Where's the engines? Are you kidding me? Yeah, but look good on TV. And so they can get your voice, call your mom and say, yeah, I'm, you know, they just, they go, yeah, it sounded like them. It just didn't sit like anything that they would say. You still can't get in to the mind, but I mean, yeah, did it sound like them? Well, now it sounds like him and looks like him. You know, you'll see the one guy, you know, with the targeted actor, you'll have what the original content was. And then in the other one, you can see the eyebrows and the mouth moving in real time, mimicking another person that's being scanned. This is amazing. And I've seen other graphic, video photoshopping that can do a lot of things with where you have the lights and the shade and the shadows and all, and it just changes it. And I'm going, this is amazing. Now they can do it live. So the point they're making, they show these drills. Oh, we had a drill about, you know, the subway station getting blown up right before the subway station blew up, you know. So they, the Brussels, you can't believe anything. One Marine is killed, and that's justification for sending the Marines and reinvade Iraq. That's going on right now. Hey, Marine got killed. We got to send in the Marines. Wasn't that how the Marines got killed? They were sent in? Yeah. Here they were showing live Sandy Hook coverage, and they had air coverage, and you would see these actors, they go out, and then they turn around, go back into the building, and come out again. And it was just to show activity of all the people that are supposed to be coming out, and they just had these actors just going in a circle. Now, there's weird stuff going.
uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what the readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com get every day. FreedomsPhoenix.com constantly providing the information, the real news about government policies, and the real relationship we all have with the coercive government. The real condition of the economy, innovations in technology, breakthroughs in energy, health, and computer science. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media. The corporate media, nothing more than distributors of government propaganda, but now there's an alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com. Constant news updates on the issues that affect your life in the most important ways. With liberty and property under constant attack, FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda, and it encourages the participation of its readers. Go to FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com. The revolution between the ears has already happened. There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Oh, yeah. Oh, mama, I've been yellow moonlight and had a high brush on my head. Love has been getting dead on the line. I wish for sure he'll see me dead.
Oh, love, man, got a high brush on my head. Maybe not. You know, that's one thing that I was always worried about, is that, when my kids were in high school, they do a lot of different, projects and so on. When they were younger, we're going, yeah, when you're in high school, one of your projects, and you can get the FBI file on old dad. You know, just go ahead and get that FBI file. They'll do a Freedom of Information. It'll be a project, and you can tell me how thick it is. And then, they never did. I just didn't care. But, neither did they. But I go, if you ever did a Freedom of Information, would you trust whatever they gave you anyway? What would be redacted? Would I even have a file? What's going to happen when you find out? It's like when East Germany went down, they went to the Stasi and headquarters, and they found out that only about 10% of the people had files on it. It was just a threat. It was just to intimidate you, to make you feel like you're being watched all the time. That was as effective. And that was something that Naomi Wolf made a big deal out of. She goes, when you're surveilled as much as we are here, it changes who you are. Your experimentation, your questions, what you search, what you support, where you go, it's all based on another factor that's in your head of being surveilled. How's it going to be looked upon? Is it going to be illegal? Are they going to, get you? See? I remember Luke Radowski, he had emails sent to him, and fortunately, depending on how you have your email set up, you can see what's in the email or attachments before you open it. And he could see there was child porn in there. And so he deleted it off the computer of super deleted of delete, delete, delete. And if it was just even in an email, open or not, that you have access to this, he goes to the airport, they check his computer, and gotcha. And all somebody had to do is send you an email. So I remember him warning of that. He goes, look, man, they were trying to nail me. I was covering a blah, blah, blah overseas doing something. So we got to be, and this, the one thing that I wanted, we've covered this in the past. And this one, what they're talking about in the same article about being able to change the video in someone's face, this is amazing. When seeing and hearing isn't believing. Now, this was it comes from .mil. It's a military site. And it was a special for the Washington Post. Gentlemen, we have called you together to inform you that we are going to overthrow the United States government. So begins a statement being delivered by General Carl W. Steiner, former Commander-in-Chief, U.S. Special Operations Command. At least the voice sounds amazingly like him. But it is not Steiner. It is the result of voice morphing technology developed at the Los Alamos National Laboratory in New Mexico. By taking just a 10-minute digital recording of Steiner's voice, scientist George Papkin is able in near real time to clone speech patterns and develop an accurate facsimile. Steiner was so impressed, he asked for a copy of the tape. Now, this is, General Carr. He goes, yeah, see, I didn't say it, but I got a tape of me saying it. This is along with another project they called Project Bluebeam. What Bluebeam was is it gave you the ability to transmit a hologram into the clouds in the air, God. And then, you know, you can have them sound like anybody you want. But the other thing was, is you could direct the sound. And I remember the technology when it was first being developed and how it was being, you know, promoted was if you are a ship at sea and you're trying to maintain radio silence, what do? They have the little flashy lights, you know, on the top. You know, they're doing Morse or whatever. They do the flag thing or something. Well, at night, they do, you know, lights. Well, the lights can be seen, too. So what they do is they have, it looks like just a flat, you know, like a LED board. You know, you can have big LED lights about a, you know, 12-inch square. You hold up and you kind of, you know, aim the lights. And but instead of lights, it has little micro speakers on it that are, it's a directional sound cannon. So if you're sitting, and they've done this on TED Talks and so on, just to, you know, show it. If you're sitting in the audience, they can direct it. It's almost like a sound laser. So it's just you or a few people around you can hear it. And as they sweep the audience, you know, don't hear it, don't hear it, don't hear it, boom, and it goes right by you. Well, a couple of years ago, guys, at least 2-3 years ago, there was a paranormal cable show of, ooh, whatever the heck, you know, watch us. And they had a billboard in New York City. And as you came around a corner, the directional speakers were set to this one corner as you walk them. It's real. They exist. I mean, you're listening. You're hearing voices in your head like, what the hell was that? Well, it was this billboard. And anybody that was standing in that particular area, they'd hear it. Nobody else would. So it kind of caused a thing, you know, and it got, of course, some press. But what it demonstrated was the ability to target voices that made it sound like it's coming from anywhere or just inside your head. You couple that with, you know, floating God faces in the sky or UFO or whatever, you can pretty much get people to do whatever they want. They did it. In Guantanamo, they're sitting. They had these prisoners, terrorists sitting there. And some of them unsophisticated from the desert and the hills of Afghanistan or whatever. And all of a sudden, they got Allah talking to them. Yeah, tell the Americans everything. Durka Durka Jihad stopped. I am. They wouldn't do that. That'd be wrong. Is that what you're thinking? They wouldn't do that. That'd be wrong. You know, they wouldn't do that. They can. So this is the kind of stuff that we can't trust anything. And when you have the Pentagon now doing, and here they got Trump, and you'll see the one guy, you know, one is the target. The other one, they could just make them say whatever they want. So I'm the voice. The site, you could even have the president stand up there, give him the State of the Union, and do an alternate. Now, that would be a humorous, scary, effective thing for people to do. What if you had State of the Union according to, you know, Bernie or you or whatever? And as he's talking up there, you're doing the mouthing thing. You get the words to match the voice that you of him saying whatever you want it to be. That would be scary. You could start a war that way, you know, especially if you did it in, you know, a language. So it's holy crap, man. So I just want you to know about this stuff, because if you don't, you're going to be a victim of it, and you may have already been a victim of it. You know, how do you determine what it is that you're going to say and or do or be, and it be in line with whatever your philosophy is? First, you got to have a philosophy. You know, I'm a leave me aloneism guy. But so I'm going, when people talk or they say stuff, I need to judge them by their actions or the actual words or what they. Well, now their actions and words can be manipulated into whatever they want us to believe. You're going to be guilty by association. Guilty, you know, before you start. Guilty, the evidence is going to, it's all manufactured. And if it wasn't done in court or by some law enforcement guy, it's going to be done by some cyber geek, you know, 22-year-old sitting there eating Hot Pockets as he's making, you know, the world think whatever is going on is what they want you to think is going on, regardless of what it is and where. Yeah. We got to get rid of this monopoly of coercion. This monopoly of we rule you. This monopoly of we can say who you can and can't trade with. That's why I'm so adamant and have been. I can see it as the solution to all this is this decentralization of everything. That's why we're still working on the script and so on. Allison Bricker over at LibertyTalk.fm has been very helpful. She's working with Derek on a lot of stuff. Ian over at Free Talk Live and LRN.fm, him and Mark. And I'm glad to hear that we got Daryl Perry up there doing the news again and so on, because I enjoy that. This is it's decentralized. We need to be able to be autonomous and still work together. And I'm kind of, you know, always did the backup thing so that I just wanted to demonstrate, yep, we're still here Monday, But the but there's a philosophy behind that. It's knowing that those are going to be starting to tart, certainly in the POTUS 2016 race. And after this Trump thing, they're going to got to make a decision. They're going to have to come hammer down on. They're like still out there. There's something that caused it. There's somebody to blame. There's some. We got to find some snakeheads to chop off just because. I've seen this happen before during the militia days and stuff back in the mid 90s. It's coming again. What are we going to do about it? Decentralize everything.